First of all, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk with you, my family. And I'm not taking lightly the opportunity because it is the word of God. And I just hope this morning, as we open the word of God and talk and contemplate on it, that the Holy Spirit really touch and talk with you. And with me too. My eyes have a little bit of tears because I really was emotional because I did not talk with the brother Brent what I'm going to speak this morning. Because I believe in the Holy Spirit guide what we do. And the last song is exactly what I'm going to talk this morning. Open my eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and to touch him and say that we love him. The first song that I remember to listen and to learn when I was a child was, just like everyone knows, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. I want to have a question. That's all we're going to talk this morning. Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? We know that he loves us. But do you love him? Do you love him? He asked the same question for Peter, right? Peter, do you love me? We're going to leave Peter alone for a while. We're going to come back with him in the end. I love Peter. He probably is my favorite character in the Bible because he's real. He's real. And he say what everybody else want to say. He got a blame for it, but he was authentic. And that's what's amazing about. So we're going to go back to Peter later. But just think about this. Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Why this is interesting? Why I choose that topic? Because when we were reading John last year, we went to the whole book of John, and when we came to the upper room ministry, when Jesus had the disciples with him, he said a statement to the disciples that struck me and always strike me. So open your Bibles, please. John 14 and verse 15. John 14 and 15. We're going to go a little slow because I used to have an elderly and back in Brazil, and he said it was two songs that he loved in the chapel. Is the cry of babies and the moving of the pages in the Bible. Okay, so we're going to give time for everybody to find it, everybody to look at. It's interesting because I have the same conversation with John yesterday about this and how it is easy to find in the verses and everything else. So today we're going to go old school. We're going to read the Bible. I want to make sure everybody finds it and we look it together. Okay? So John 14, verse 15. This is Jesus speaking. If ye love me, so if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, verse 21st. He that had my commandments and keep them, he it is that love me. And he that love me shall be love of my Father. And I will love him. And I will manifest myself to him. Again, verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if you love me, you keep my commandments. It's not me saying. Is the word of God saying, And that's the words of Jesus Christ. So do you love him? Do I love him? So let's go in the word of God. Just before we go, just let's go pray. Our Father is our God. So as we open our word now, and it was just like we read it, the words of your son, when he walked here and he told the disciples. So we want to really learn from you, from your word, and challenge ourselves on this such important and crucial matter that love Jesus. So we ask you to, through the power and for the guise of the Holy Spirit, that you bless our time together and help us instruct our hearts to serve you better. In Jesus Christ, in his holy name we pray. Amen. Okay, as we're going forward, we have to understand what Jesus said. It's a simple statement, but we have to, by the Holy Spirit, just guide and see what he means with this. So, is Jesus talking about the Ten Commandments? Because if you love me, you keep my commandments. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments. We all know. If you don't know who is the Ten Commandments, don't worry. The Ten Commandments was something that was given to the people of Israel, how them to you to obey God. So we're going to go back a little deeper, that's a little farther. But that's, so is this Jesus talking about a new commandment? Something that he will present it? That's what he's talking about? So what is he talking about? If you love him, you're going to follow his commandments. So keep that question, and then we're going to, okay, first thing, he said, if you love me, I've got to confess one thing. When I was a teenager, I hate English. I hate it, because in Portuguese, it's different, the way you write, the way you speak, everything, the way you write it, the same way you speak it. So I could not make the same association with English. My mom put him in the school. She said, well, maybe one day you're going to need it. I should have listened to her, right? But I tried and did not went too far in my end. I said, Mom, I don't need these. And so, but I learned. But even though English is a fascinating language, English is a very language for communication. That's why we all can speak with a broken English and people can understand, because it's a language. But it's a very poor language, because just like any structural language, one word means many things, right? So, like I said one time, I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my car. I don't love that old van, but I love, you got the picture. It's the same word, right? Love, love, love. So, and then I love Jesus. But Greek, it is a very, very rich language. The word love in Greek, Greek have 8 different words for love. For every specific kind of love, they have one word. We are familiar with some of them. I'm just going to say 4. It is storge. Storge is the word that refers to the love between father and a child, a mother and a child. It's a family love. And then it is philia or filio. That is a friendship love. I love Brother Brian as my brother, as my friend. And then the eros. Eros is the love between couples. It's romantic love. See, when I say I love my wife, I'm referred to, in Greek, eros. Because that's the romantic love. And is it the one that we all know about is agape or agapo. That's the love to God. That's the most, why is it that important? Because that kind of love is the most high form of love. It's unconditional love. It's not just emotional. It's not just like romantic or friendship. It's a deeper, it's something devotional. That's the love. That's exactly what the love, if you go to original, that's exactly, because the New Testament was written in the type of Greek, that's exactly what Jesus is talking about. It's that type of love. Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? Now, so if you love Jesus with the agape love, it is a consequence of the love. What is the consequence? Follow my commandments. So loving Jesus with that agape love, with that kind of unconditional, perfect love, require one thing from me, that is to follow him, to obey him, and to obey his commandment. So obey his command, I'm going to follow him, I'm going to obey him, I'm going to trust him. So the consequence of the love is follow, trust, and obey. But now it is, it's not only know his, the verse said, it is one word that is repeat in the three verses that I read it. Did you notice? It's just before command. What is the word before the command? Keep. Keep my commandments. Not only know about them, but you keep my commandments. It's a very small word, but when you go and check what keep means to conform to be faithful to retain, to have in control, and to act accordingly to. So keep is not only know, not only have it, but is acting through that knowledge. And that's very, you can see that when Jesus said, "You, if you love me, you keep my commandments." And they keep it there. I have that, those commandments have to change the way I acted. But now, what is the opposite then? If you love Jesus, you keep his commandment. I like to do this sometime. I have over here, I put a little arrow. If you love Jesus, you obey. If you don't love Jesus, so, okay, you love Jesus, you obey. If you don't obey, what is the consequence? You don't love him. It's logical, right? I mean, it's logical. If he's saying, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So if I don't follow the commandments, if I don't follow, what it is? I'm not loving him. I'm saying that I love him, but I'm not demonstrating that love. I'm not here to point finger at anybody, because this is first for me. I'm just want us from this time to think about really that statement. Do I love Jesus? If I do love, I'm loving the way I'm supposed to love. But before we go farther, we wanted to make one thing very clear. Salvation is not for doing anything. If I have to be saved because I obey everything that Jesus had commanded me, that makes what Jesus did for me at the cross not necessary. Right? So in any further, any reason, I'm saying that you love Jesus, though automatically you're saved. If you follow everything that he tells you, you're automatically saved. If you don't believe he died at the cross for your sins, if you don't believe that he came as a man and was the perfect sacrifice at the cross, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, for whosoever obey, no, believe, have everlasting life. So that was salvation come from. Not for things that I could do. Even if I could love him without have been born again, I will not have eternal life. So take this out of your mind. So every time I ask you if you love Jesus, I'm not asking if you're saved, because I know pretty much more of you. And if I don't know that much, if you have not received Jesus as your Savior yet, Today is the day. Today is the day. Don't matter how much you love him. Without the Holy Spirit, you will never have a agape love toward him. And that's another thing I want to touch now too. So how can we love him? How can we love Jesus with that unconditional love? Well, Jesus himself said, I can skip some verse because that's the way I want to bring the message. But if you read verse 16, so John 14:16, Jesus himself said, after he said the statement, if you love me, you keep my commandment. He said, and I will, is the same, he's in the same phrase, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. So we can love Jesus with that agape, I'm in trouble now because we have brother Elijah is in line. So if I say the word is wrong, but I believe it's agape. I believe so. So through the Holy Spirit, we can love Jesus that way. Because we, in ourselves, we can. But by the power, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we can. It's not impossible, but we can. So Jesus himself, he made this statement. He gave the condition, but he gave the solution, or the way to be able to love him that way, through the Holy Spirit. Now, the question remains, what commands he's talking about? What he's talking about? He said, if you love me, you follow my commandments. Open your Bibles, please, and Luke 22, verse 35 to 40. So Luke 22 and verse 35. Just to don't break my tradition, I'm going to have Adam to read it for us. Luke 22 and verse 35 to 40. Jesus was asking the same question about the commandments, the Ten Commandments. So what did he say? 35 to 40, yeah.
And he said to them, when I sent you out without money.
It's Luke 22. Matthew 22. Oh, see, I said we're going to go slow. I mean, slower. Matthew 22. My apologies. Yes.
One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets."
Thank you, brother. So Jesus himself was asking about the Ten Commandments. A lawyer, a Pharisee, a lawyer, came to ask him. And he responded. He basically resumed the Ten Commandments in two sections, because the first five commandments is about man and God, and the last five commandments is between man and man, the relationship man to God, man to man. So he resumed those two: love God with all your heart, and love the man, love the neighbor like yourself. So what was the Ten Commandments? Because what is important to get a grasp of this importance of to know and to what is the position, what is the place of the Ten Commandments in the Word of God? Why? Because it is today people, groups, they believe the only way to salvation and through salvation is follow the Ten Commandments. Every one of them. If you break one, you're an automatic turn to eternal condemnation. Okay, what was the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments was a set of rules that God himself gave through Moses, we remember the Mount Sinai, for the people of Israel to follow. So was a reason why. Why? They had just came, the people of Israel had just came from more than 400 years in the pagan land. They were so away from God that when Moses came to tell them that they were going to be rescued, Moses had to say what God had sent him, because they didn't know, because the Egyptians had many gods. They still have many gods. So when they came out of the, God had a new way to deal with the people. So, and the idea is like, he did give them a set of straight commandments that they will follow those commandments, and they will be a testimony for the people around Israel that they have the true and only God. And the idea was bring those people to the knowledge of the same God. But just like the Ten Commandments in the past, if you read the Ten Commandments today, you can look in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. You have set of rules. We can resume them, and you know. But the idea there was to show our sinful nature, our sinful nature. And this is interesting. I'm going to read this because the Ten Commandments expose our sinful motives and behaviors for what they are, namely transgression of a specific command. So they are just to prove that we cannot follow. For example, let me give you an example. You tell your bund of joy, 2 years old, don't touch the glass. What's the first thing he does? Philip never did. Julia did a couple of times. I'm kidding. They will touch it. Why? Because they just told you don't touch it. It's the nature to disobey what the strict commandment. So the Ten Commandments is just a proof of that we cannot follow a strict commandment. Is a nature, is a sinful nature of man. The Ten Commandments have no power to save. Let me say again. The Ten Commandments have no power to save. Why? Because just the Ten Commandments is just like a teacher that will show you, they show you God's holiness and our sinfulness. How that can save? Because they're just showing who you are. It's just a statement to say that you are sinful and God is holy. It's just a statement. And also, if God is holy and I'm sinful, what is the solution? What is the solution? Our need of salvation. Our need of someone somehow to bridge the gap. So, and who is that? That's the good news of the gospel, that we have Jesus, that came to do that, to die at the cross for us and to save our souls. How? But now, he had to deal in those days with the Ten Commandments, because the Pharisees and the Jewish people was following those ordinances as the way to get to God and to please God. So now we're gonna for a few moments see in the Bible, see in the Word of God, how Jesus Christ himself deal with the Ten Commandments, with that set of rules. Because he was asking, like we all say, that what is the greatest command? But now, you know, this is what I don't understand sometimes. People want to follow the Ten Commandments as a way to please God. And when Jesus came, he made it even harder. Right? He made it even harder. Because the Ten Commandments is just a way to express from outside what I think is the right thing to do. So if I don't kill anybody, if I respect my neighbor, if I never adultery with a woman, I'm pleasing God. So what Jesus said in Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Now it's Matthew. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. Matthew 5 and 27. He's talked with some of the religion leaders on that time. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. And that's the seventh commandment. And what Jesus said. So, okay, if a man in that time never physically made the adultery, he's following God's law, right? What Jesus said to them. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her had commit adultery with her already in his heart. So he said, what matter to God is not what is outside, is the intentions of your heart. So if you want to follow the Ten Commandments, now Jesus make it even harder for you. Okay, every time if you look at a man looking for a woman with bad intentions or wrong intentions, he already committed adultery. So he already broke the law. So that Jesus make explicit to what is important is the matter of the heart, is now the outside. And the Ten Commandments just deal with the outside. Jesus came to set us free from the dominion of sin and condemnation of the law. Romans, my brother, let's go to Romans 6. Romans, we'll open three. Romans 6 and 14. Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. The way God deal with us now, after Jesus died at the cross, is through grace, not through the law. Romans 8, verse 1 to 5, to 4. Romans 8 and 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, the Ten Commandments, could not do in that it was weak through flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, when Jesus came, he came to die for our sins, but also he came to be the propitiation, be the one that will fulfill the 10, all the laws of that God had stipulated for man. So, that was the main focus. There was to live the perfect life, to fulfill the law, to fulfill the commitment, and to die for us at the cross. To take away that condemnation there was. Galatians 13 and 3, our brother. Galatians 3:13. Brother David just read this verse in the first meeting. Galatians 3:13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. So the law have a curse. If you don't obey, you are condemned. So God, Jesus came to redeem us, fulfilling that those statements. And to be able to be our propitiation, to be the one that will righteousness present us to God. So the ones that believe that we still have to follow the Ten Commandments or any commandment to please God are saying that what God, Jesus did at the cross is not enough. I have to do something myself. That's why the Ten Commandments is not applied to what we live in now, because we live under grace. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So I already said that. Matthew 5:17, exactly what we said. He came to fulfill every one of these statements. How? How can we know that he did it? He said, himself said that you resume the law in two statements. You follow God or you with all your heart. You love God with all your heart. And you have you love your neighbor like yourself. Okay, Luke 22:42. Now I'm going to prove that Jesus fulfilled those statements that himself did. So Luke 22:42. So we know what is happening in this moment. He's in the Gethsemane, ready to go to the cross, knowing what's going to come to happen. But himself, as a man, he was fearful for the moment. And he said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He loved God to the end. He loved God and was willing to do the things that him as man on that moment could not endure, but he did. He followed through it to the end. And also, John 15:13. So he already fulfilled, we know, many times, many ways, but this is a proof that he fulfilled the first time, the first statement. He loved God with all his heart. So John 15:13. Greater love had no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So he loved his neighbor like himself, because he died for us. He went to the end. So he obeyed the Father, and he honored the Father. He loved the Father to the end, and he loved the neighbor to the end. So he fulfilled the commandments himself. And we all know that the law, the Old Testament, was a shadow, was pointing to Christ. So he fulfilled in every aspect of the Old Testament laws that was imposed to the Israelites. He fulfilled himself. And those laws was pointing to him. And he fulfilled them. I told Brenda I just need 35 minutes, but next time, if you allow me, I'm going to go a little over. Is that okay? Yeah. But if you say no, I'm going to continue speaking. I just want to be nice. So, okay. Now, we know he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. When he said, if you love me, you follow my commandments. He's not talking about the Ten Commandments. Because he fulfilled himself in his. So why, if he was the Ten Commandments, why he will fulfill, have all the burden and have us to have the burden too. It would make no sense, right? God is not God of confusion. If he said that he's referring to the Ten Commandments, so he's contradicting himself now. No, it's not the Ten Commandments. So he's not saying to love him, you have to follow every one of them. And now, think about it. He said, you have to follow all of them, and even if your intentions of your hearts are sinful, you already broke them. So he make it even harder now for us to follow. So what is he talking about then? Now I'm going to read it, what William MacDonald said about the verse. So that's William MacDonald say. The commandments of the Lord are the instructions, the teachings, which he has given us in the gospel, as well as the rest of the New Testament. So he's saying, if you love him, you follow all his teachings, all his instructions. That's what he's referring to. Is the Ten Commandments important? Yes, because show the moral, show the nature of God. But he's referring to that statement that he said to the lawyer, that your intention of your heart matter more to God than your outside appearance. So follow my instructions. And that is the message this morning, if you allowed me to say this very humbly. If we say that we love Jesus, we have to follow all his instructions, all his commandments, all his teachings. Not the ones we like it, not the ones that make us feel good, but every one of them. We are familiar with them as believers, right? Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Love your neighbors, every one of them. We just did the one that he told us to do, right? We came to remember his death. Yes, we are following him. But the question, another question is, are we following him intentionally or just follow? Or just do it because it's the right thing to do? Or because that makes us feel good? He make a challenge for the disciples because he said that to the disciples when he was just about to die. If somebody that you really love it, was about to die and tell you a list of things that he wanted you to do, what's the best thing you can do to honor that person that died? You follow all that his requests. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He's about to die at the cross and tell the disciples, the only thing you're going to say that you love me is to follow my commandments. Now let's go back to Peter. Let's go back to Peter to finish. So John 21st, we very familiar with the story. John 21st, I want you to follow with me as I'm reading, verse 15 to 17. Just to picture the scenario here. Remember, Peter in his mind was the most faithful, stronger, die-hard believer ever. He was always willing to do anything that everybody else could do it. He was the first one. He was the only man that ever walked in water. Think about that. But he was quick to say things and to do things that he caught the ears of the servant, right? So, and then he said that he will never deny Jesus. We know what's happened. If somebody can be high in the spiritual life, can you imagine you walk in the water? He could tell that story forever. I had so much faith that I walk in the water. But also, he denied Jesus. It was a little girl that was asking him. A teenager that was asking him. He couldn't face that teenager. The same Lord that he said he will die for. So in this moment now, think about this. And Jesus had just resurrected And now he's going to meet the disciples. Peter already had saw him and everything else. Can you imagine? Can you imagine it, really? The emotional state of Peter when he saw Jesus for the first time. Can you imagine the regrets, the shame? The shame. The big, strong, powerful Peter. And the scene that's striking the most in that scene about Peter and Jesus is when Jesus, he denied Jesus for the third time, and Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine that? And now he's back. Now he's back. He's ready to do everything now back. So Jesus talked with him and say, verse 15 of John 21st. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lamb. He said to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? He said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. What is the lesson there? Like the poor translations? Jesus was asking Peter, do you love me? With the agape love. With the agape love. Do you love me? Peter answered twice with the filial word for love. I want to say that Peter was so embarrassed and so low in his statement as a believer that he was ashamed to say, yes, I love you. Because if he said, I love you with the agape love, he would be condemning himself because he didn't do it. He denied Jesus. So he couldn't do it. Jesus asked him twice about agape love. The third time that Jesus asked him, Jesus used the word filial. What is important there? Jesus, he had compassion. He knew the stage of Peter was on that moment. But we know what happened to Peter. He became one of the pillar of the first church. He wrote letters. He was a transformed man that learned in his life. He make mistakes, we know that. But he was learned. In the end, he died for the Jesus that he denied. The question this morning is the same for you and for me. Do you love Jesus? Do I love Jesus? If you do love him, Jesus, what kind of love you have for Jesus? We know what he expects. He expected the unconditional, the supreme love, the agape love. But he will take your filial love because he can make that one a perfect love. If you let him do it through the Holy Spirit to use us for his glory. Jesus loves me, that I know. For the Bible tells me so. Do I love Jesus?